What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jonathan Holder and Toby D. Today, we are joined by the Out of Your Falcon Mind guys, John Yates and Mike. Mike, I don't even know your last name. I don't even know if you want the internet knowing your last name. But either way, we appreciate y'all being here. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing tonight?
Doing great, man. As always, man, thanks for having us on, man. And we love coming on with you guys.
Heck yeah. I had a momentous occasion. Y'all hit over 1,000 subscribers on y'all's channel. Congratulations. Hey, you did. So
congrats.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Toby, what's going on, that's brother? Good. How you doing, my man?
Hey, man, we got a win.
We did.
I was at the game Sunday with y'all. Yeah. Even though we were sitting in separate spots, my son took me to the game. So that was a blessing to just spend time with him. And it was a trip, though, going all the way out there to get him from school and then take him all the way back after the game was over. That's a nice little ride there.
That is something to ride. That is interesting. Jonathan, how are you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. As Toby said, me and you were at the game. All five of us were at the game, I believe. Yep. So,
I say, John and them, they made it on the board.
That's right.
Yeah, they did.
They're famous.
went to a Falcons game where we won, got a game-winning drive out of it, game-winning kick. It's always a beautiful week for the Falcons.
That's right. That's right. Fred Butts is already at it, which we appreciate.
Fred.
Great, hey. Fred. I don't know if did we catch Jonathan off guard again?
Caught me off guard.
Fred Butts says, he says, Ritter showed he is a franchise quarterback, and Arthur has no excuse not to turn him loose. I'm still holding reservation. He showed that he had a good game, and I'll put it to you like this, as we will get into greatly throughout the rest of the show. He finally showed that he had some, hey, I can be in the NFL, like a full game of it. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
And that was impressive. I have to give the tip of the cap where it's due. He did show that. Hold on one more time. We got Bradley Burnett with another $5. Hey. Appreciate it. Oh, he's throwing out his ballers and fallers. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and take it because I know Willie's and Willie Doc's in the wings waiting on this. He says ballers is Alford and Landman. Fallers is Dahlman and McGarry. Our pass pros seem to improve after McGarry went out. We're going to touch on that. But before we get too much further into it, let's hit this intro so we can do it proper. So, yes, we might as well go ahead and get into the – I'm going to put this up for a minute because I'm going to have to take it away because if not, I'm going to cover somebody's face. But – before
it's
we get
okay.
into
we
the
can,
ball,
we can be sacrificed. Sorry,
that's right.
Just sure, it's all good. Graphics important, man.
So, game thoughts. When we start this, we tend to do like a 30,000-foot view, and my 30,000-foot view, I kind of already said it a little bit. We finally got to see what I'm calling a complete game from Ritter, and that was extremely encouraging. Does it mean that, he's cemented himself, no more questions? No, doesn't mean that. Same thing with, JF1 up in Chicago. He had himself a real good game. Can we start stacking on that? That's the question. Can we start stacking on that? So that was something that I came away encouraged by. Mike, I'm going to throw you on the hot seat. What's your 30,000-foot view?
Of the game or the team?
The game, just the game.
The game was the first game where I feel like he looked more than competent.
Mm. There you go.
I just felt like that was the first time we felt like, oh, damn, like he is competent. Like he can play. Like you just said, he can play professionally.
That's right.
Was not proven before. It's like I just rock with him because I'm out of my Falcon mind.
Right.
But I don't rock with him because of something I seen. But he showed it. That was the first time. It was like a proud dad moment where you was watching your kid excel for the first time. And I was like, damn, he can do this. And I was high-fiving everybody. I didn't know he could do that. I thought he I thought he did a great job because the game was on him to win, and he went and won it.
That's it. Yeah, no, that's it. Toby, what's your 30,000-foot view?
Arthur Smith and Dave Ragone finally got out of their stubbornness. That's what happened in his game.
There it is.
They called a game and plays that actually fit what their team can do best. And this is something I've been harping on for a minute now with the last two losses we had. And that was the difference. And wouldn't you know, back shoulder throws do work in the NFL. And screen passes to your wide receivers work in the NFL, as well as reverses. This is stuff that other NFL offenses do. Why we waited till now to do that, I do not know, but it definitely fits what our team does. And this is what I was saying. The identity is this. So they need to keep doing this and building on that, and they'll be fine.
There it is. Mr. Yates.
Yeah, man. I mean, I echo what those guys said. It was, you know, Mike and I talked about it on our show several times. It was like, it's not that, you know, we just wanted to see, okay, Dez, it's on you, buddy. Can you go do it? You know, like, can you put a game together? And coming back from the two games that we had, and the two games that he had, because he can say all he wants, man. He's like, you know, I put it past me, whatever. He's human, man. We know those two games had to be weighing on him, you know. And so for him to come out, that's what we want to see. We want to see, okay, you responded great in that Green Bay game. You know, came back in the fourth quarter, had a great fourth quarter. Now, can you – now what's going to happen now? You stack two bad games. How are you going to respond, you know, to that? And for him to come out, perform like that, man, and like Toby just said, get your playmakers the ball, man. You got these guys for a reason, man. Get the ball in their hands. I don't care if it's a screen, a short, whatever. What I don't care how – whatever you got to do to get it in their hands, man. Just let them make the plays. And, you know, he definitely – Arthur definitely showed it this week. He can call a good game, and Dez showed that he can win it up with his arm. If you guys want to put 7, 8, 9 in the box, all right, go ahead. You know?
Right.
Dez, we got that. The only thing I said on our show, too, that I wish – we would have saw, and y'all probably saw this too, that backside boot was open all game.
Jonathan, what was I saying? I said he has got to keep it on that boot at least one time.
He could have went 30 yards on a few of those times. He could have just, there was nobody looking at him.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So yeah.
John, what's your 30,000 foot view? And then we'll move into ballers and fallers and start really dissecting this thing.
I really hope JT Daniels JT O'Sullivan.
Yeah, JT O'Sullivan.
I keep wanting to say JT Daniels. I really hope he does a QB school on Ritter this week.
Me too.
I would really like to see if what I think I saw in, not necessarily at the game, but when I rewatched it, and just hearing both the commentary from the people, like, you know, the commentators and what have you, what he showed this week was that he can do it now. And just, it's been commented on by everybody else too, but now it needs to be, can you do it again?
Right.
Can you do it consistently?
Yep. That's the thing.
You're going to have bad games. But you also want to be kind of like a veteran pitcher, right? A veteran pitcher, a really good veteran pitcher. They're not going to come in every single game and be on the entire game. They're going to have off games, and they're not going to be quite able to get their fastball where they want it, or their curveball, or whatever, but they fight through it. And yeah, they'll give up maybe a few more hits than they're used to, maybe even a couple more runs than they're used to, but they keep their team in it by just keep fighting at it. And so then I want to see, like, when he's not having his best game, can he do other things to make sure that he's putting his team in a position to at least have a chance to win a game? Right. So I want to see that down the road. But for now, I want to see, can you, it doesn't even have to be 330 yards again, 275 or 250. But if it's at that same efficiency of going where you're supposed to go, not staring down your guys, if I can see all that, I'm great. But
yeah,
this game,
yeah,
I was so happy to, I remember the only time that I felt like kind of disappointed in Ritter was the very first drive. And when he throws that out to Drake and just completely missed him. After that, I was just like, you know, I didn't really have a moment. I was disappointed with some things that happened, but I wasn't like disappointed necessarily in him. Right. Just things didn't work the way we wanted it to. But overall, from a defensive standpoint, from a offensive standpoint, even special team standpoint, I think all three of those phases did everything that we wanted to, minus some things that we're going to talk about in the ballers.
There you go. All right. So speaking of that, we'll let Willie Doc kick us off.
Willie Doc.
Which we appreciate. Willie's favorite segment. He says, ballers, Ritter. All right. Yeah. Straightforward. He says, fallers, Dahlman, honorable mention, Alford. Really?
Yeah.
No, he's saying those are ballers.
Honorable. Okay. Right. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah. No, no. You're right. You're right. Well, I'm trying to. He said Ritter, Fallers, Dahlman. Okay. Now I see what it is. Ballers, Ritter, Fallers, Dahlman. Honorable mention is Alford.
Alford, yeah.
Side eye glance is at McGarry. I love how he's added a side eye glance. I love that. McGarry says, and I agree with Bradley. Good game from Smith. Like Toby said, I need this performance like back to back. I think right now that's where a lot of us are. It's like, can you do it again? Can you stack it? So let's see what Pound for Pound has to say. And bam. All right. Hey, I even got Mike's face still in there.
Look at that.
Okay, man. All right. So
I made it.
So our baller is, yes, Ritter. He's taken a lot of crap in the past couple weeks, deservedly so. Yeah. So with that being said, if I'm going to, but if we're going to dump on him when he has a good game, we need to do the opposite, right? Because he had a good game. The score.
That's why I love you, buddy.
Hey, gotta be fair, right? Fair and balanced, the best Absolutely. We can, anyway. Somebody said earlier, it was Nick, my good buddy Nick says, more points would be nice.
Yeah,
we're gonna get into that. I don't think the scoreboard was actually was indicative to how well he played all game, and so that's why he earns the baller award for us this week. The fallers, and you're gonna be like, a football? Why a football? Okay.
I was trying to hold on to the stupid thing.
Right. I was trying to figure out what I could use to symbolize the fact that Janu had a fumble. Bijan had a fumble. You had Pitts with a costly false start. You had Dahlman with the stupid penalties. And all those things cost us points. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if Janu doesn't fumble and Dahlman doesn't have that stupid penalty, that's at least 6 more points.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Pitts. If Pitts doesn't have the false start, that's possibly 9 more points. Now we're talking about a blowout. Now we're talking about a fourth quarter touchdown by C.J. Stroud being garbage time. You know, stat padding, so to speak. Right? So that's why that ended up being the faller. It was the stupid mental errors by our team that need to get pruned down, that need to get cut down as we go on through the season.
Yeah.
But that is our ballers and fallers.
And I'll say this with regards to the fumbles, both especially the Bijan one, like that one was just a dude put his hat right on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other one was it was just they got there at the right time. He hadn't fully secured the ball yet, but he had control of it. So it was much easier to get that ball out. And those are gonna happen.
Yeah,
I would say the things. I mean, I can still see that being part of the faller argument, but the penalties is the stupid stuff that you have to cut out.
And
the fumbles are going to happen, but and the penalties are going to happen, but you don't want to have those stupid 15-yard penalties that take you completely out of field.
Right, and that's the mental side of it. These other guys get paid to play football as well. So, you're going to have that as we go throughout the season. But that score could have easily been a much more lopsided affair than what it was. So before we get into any of our other ones, I do want to jump in a chat because I have a tendency when we get a large group in here to not get into chat nearly as much. Dre Murphy says DR9 is 32-0 at home. I think he'll it again because it's another home game. We'll be 33-0. True. Now, somebody else said it was up here earlier in chat. think it was our buddy Chris. Yes, there it is. He says, Ritter hasn't shown he can win on the road. Yeah. Like, guys, like, is that concerning to y'all? Like, he's right now, he's only winning at home. I made that joke before we went to Detroit, but John, Yates, what do you think, bro?
No, I mean, I don't even count last year, really, because it's getting started in the New Orleans, Baltimore. It's two tough places to play. Mm-hmm. We could have won both those games. I mean, a few things, a few drops don't happen. But and then this year, just kind of finding us. Nah, I don't really. I mean, those two games on the road, Lions obviously showing what they are. They're actually, they're a pretty solid squad. I think we can all see that now. Mm-hmm. And even though the defense played well enough in both those games that we could have won, but hey, I'm not too worried about it. I think he'll get obvious. I don't think he's going to go winless on the road this year. He just has to, I don't think it has anything to do with it. I mean, it's cool that he's undefeated here, but
Right. I think it's an interesting stat, but I don't think it's something that defines him. No. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to let you start off our next segment. Did Ritter redeem himself with this one game?
No, not even close. Because the hole he dug was 10 feet, and he probably put 2 feet of dirt back in it.
Yeah.
Like, because we saw you play too much bad to just have it overcome because you were more than competent for one time. Like, he still didn't look amazing. Like, it wasn't a mind-blowing performance. It just, he looked more than competent. It was like, oh, he can make a throw if somebody open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of like that. Oh, he can hit the, oh, he can, like, so he, oh, he can run for a touchdown. That's the first time we was watching all that. So it was like, I don't think he even close to redeemed himself. I think he got to go so far. He got to be so consistent. Like, with that type of performance, I don't even think he can, he can't even be mediocre. He got to excel because of the hole he dug himself. He played poorly too many games in a row, so everybody got that concrete cemented in their head. Like, he already need to go. You know what I'm saying? Auntie always stealing out the house. She always steal it every time she over here.
That's that drunk auntie, too.
She steal the last time she was in here. But I don't just trust her in the house unsupervised. She didn't steal one time. She stole 7 times before that. No. He's not close to stuff. I got to see you stop stealing for months and years for me to say, I know you stopped stealing and I trust you. I wouldn't put money on him or anything. I'm just so proud of him because that can buckle a person.
Oh, yeah.
The whole national media is on you, your own fans on you, and you know that your teammates are silently on you. Like, so that could buckle a person to come out like that, that say something, man.
That's a really good point that you bring up. And if something Toby brought up last week, and I wonder if Toby, if you got something you want to add on that, was like you could see the frustrating starting amount with Pitts and with London, and you got the outburst from Hollins. Like, Toby, did you find it interesting? Play design or whatever, but the lead blocker on that rushing touchdown was Hollins.
I did, but it was a good one because that just showed us that they squashed it. Like you said before we got on the show, it was squashed and everybody could move forward. I mean, they did whatever they needed to do to get this passing game going. And that was what excited me because Arthur Smith them knew, hey, we can't afford to lose this game. We got to win, not only just because it's at home, but we need to get back over 500. We need to do whatever we need to do to get this passing game going and get Ritter going. And that's exactly what they did. And you saw that by the clear play passing designs that they had in this game with some of the people. And I know we're going to talk about they caught the football that shot the heck out of me. When I watched it in person, I didn't think it was possible. And I'm sure that was the longest pass play in his career.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It had to have been. It had to have been. Now, this is also slightly encouraging. Fred Butts, our good friend Fred.
Thank you, Mr. Butts.
He says, I will say this about Ritter. He has to perform on the road to be become elite. Yeah. I'm the biggest Ritter supporter, and he definitely is. He says, but he has to win on the road. So yeah, that's the thing, is like, did he redeem himself? I think in a way more with his teammates than anybody else. Like, cause they understand, they see the work he puts in, right? Mm-hmm. They know what's really going on. And, you know, the frustration, whether it be with him missing, you know, or just the play designs themselves or whatever, but to have it all come together, like I tweeted out, you know, when the Falcons themselves tweeted out the picture of Drake London, you know, after he come up after his helmet got ripped off, you know,
Hell yeah.
He came up fired up. And I thought to myself, when that happened, I was like, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
Because when the players start to believe, that's a different animal. Like when the players and you could take just about any group, but when they start to buy in, when they start win, and it could take 4 or 5 games. Heck, it could take, the Lions started 1-6 last year.
Yep.
You know, so all it takes is just one instance. And that moment when Drake came up and you saw, you know, what I've dubbed Spicy Drake or Crazy Drake, you know, you saw him come up like roaring like that. I was like, okay, yeah, well, it's on now.
It's the same reason we talked about after the week one win, right? You come out week one, you get that win. That it does, it validates everything that you've been working towards in the offseason, right? You come out, lose week one, doesn't necessarily invalidate it, but it's not quite as easy to buy into everything that you're being said is the right way to do things, right? You come out week one, you get that win. You get a win week two, it keeps reinforcing it. You get a couple of bad weeks. And I'm not saying that's breaking it all down, but yeah, there's probably some guys that are frustrated about how things are going. But then you come out, and especially not just you win this game, but you win this game on the back of a guy who for a couple weeks straight now, really since the beginning of the year, has had a lot of criticism, even in the wins. Like, why didn't we pass more? Why didn't we go downfield more? Why didn't we do this? And why didn't we do that? And, you know, yada, yada, yada. And now this is his moment to say, I can do all of those things, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to win us this game because of it. And so they're not just happy with the results of the game. They're happy with the results that for their guy who has had a lot of pressure put on him at a young age as a young quarterback. And this is his response to that, the pressure that's been put on him. Which comes with the territory, you know, being a quarterback, that's just, if you're not ready for that, then you're not going to be an NFL quarterback. But that can't mean that they can't be happy as hell about how his performance is going to help him, it's going to help the team, it's going to help everything. So
I completely agree on that. So
and it was big for the fans too to see.
Oh yeah, that place got. And that 2-minute drive, you know, or when, you know, that place got pretty rocking.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was jealous early in the game when they just showed his face on the Jumbotron. He got booed.
Yeah.
Early in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, some folks were booing. I'm like, what the hell? And then, you know, but he obviously had, they were all on his side by the end of the game. Obviously, everybody was happy.
Of course, yeah.
But it's
amazing what winning does.
Yeah, that was just, for the offense in general, that was kind of a step toward redemption. I mean, because, you know, Arthur had been under fire for his play call, and offensive line under fire for not protecting. Dez been under fire for not performing. So it was just, you know, all together. And yeah, they still got room to improve, obviously, like y'all just said, with the fumbles and some of the negative plays. But overall, man, it was just, you know, it was just he went through progressions. You know, we saw him go through progressions, which he hadn't been doing really a lot during those games. So it was just, it was all good to see, man, for the most part.
Kenji Davis popped in and says, it's been a while, but I'm glad to be here with the Pound for Pound family. We are
glad to have
you are here. That's right. We are glad you are here. Let's see. Another PR, said, it says the O-line hasn't helped until now. When he has time, his accuracy is there. That's like,
clean pocket on those almost interceptions.
Yeah,
right, like, to the guys.
Right, that's the thing, is no, getting hit a bunch doesn't help, but you know, you still got to, when it's there, you got to have it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Pinch Wet Shaving. That is a name and a half right there. I'm not, I don't even know. All right, but anyway.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, that's right. There's a few of these folks get us from time to time. He says it's finally starting to click for Ritter. He still has some bumps down the road. He'll still have some bumps down the road.
Yeah, of course.
But he'll no longer look like a deer in the headlights like he did the first four games. That's the hope, right? We'll have a better answer next week on that. But but that's the hope, and that's what we all want to see. What's up, Falcons? Oh, shoot. What's up, Falcons? Well, we ain't seen y'all in a minute. He says, what's up, fellas? This is Rock. He says, glad to see y'all still doing your thing. We're trying, bro. We're trying to hold it down here. He says, we think Ritter might get it together. Right, Toby?
I mean, I'm not going to – you know, one game he did play well, much better.
There you go.
And I think that got to do with the plays, but that's I'm not ready to, crown him just yet.
No, exactly. And that's part of the thing is as Falcons fans, we tend to get out over our skis one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And – you know, I'm over here trying to be the voice of reason, so to speak. Like, don't crown them yet, but give them props when it's due.
But a lot of times nowadays, like, just being objective gets you called a hater.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. You know.
Hey.
Come on now.
All right, last one, Tasman, our good buddy Tasman. He says, what do y'all think about the new addition, Van Jefferson? We're going to get into that here in just a minute. That's an interesting move. Yep. Jay Black tipped us $5, which we appreciate.
Jay Black.
He says, love P for P and out of your Falcon mind. Rise up. Talk about Van Jefferson. We're going to. and will we use him right away? We will get into all of that. Like I said, I told myself today that I was going to try to do better about not ignoring, but you know,
it is a tough job, man. Look, that's why I'm so happy to come on your show or whoever, and why, because I ain't gonna sit there I'm working the chat, I'm losing my train of thought, I'm listening to the guys speak, and I'm like, where was I at? Oh yeah, this point. I'm like, I have to write, man. I've got like a show sheet, you know, this big, so I don't miss points because I just, you know.
Well, see, that's what we've turned around and started using the banners for. The banners end up being like how I keep myself on track.
Exactly.
But see, for me, it's like, especially when we have guests on, like me and Jonathan are long-winded. So, you know, when we get to that route, I got to make sure that I don't run over Toby and let Toby talk. And then you got Mike sitting over here just in the corner by himself, chilling. I got to drag Mike back into it. You know, you got to be a good host. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Hey, man, I'm honored to be here. I'm ready to rock and roll with y'all.
Oh,
man.
Shoot. I know you are, Mike. I'm just messing with you, bro. All right. So we'll keep it on moving.
Hold on, man. 1 minute, Toby, because I've been wanting to say this for a minute.
Oh.
JH is so fly today with that matching outfit. Like, he need to be on the sideline at the Falcon game with that outfit, man. I hope you wore that to the game. No, man, at the top with the striped shirt and the whole Like, I've been staring at the outfit. That's a great outfit, man. That's a good matching outfit. It's an executive outfit. I love
it. Looks like an OC.
I almost wore this to the game on Sunday.
You should. Like,
but I wanted
to. Got in the locker room.
They'd be like, what are you doing in the seats? You need to be on the sideline, sir.
That's right.
But I wanted to wear our hoodie, our pound for pound hoodie, because it was a little chillier early in the day. And this wouldn't have felt. I tried it on and I was like, that don't feel right at all. I almost did, and I almost didn't wear it here until like literally 2 minutes before I got on with you guys. I was like, I was just going to wear like the t-shirt I wore today at work, which is no big thing. Yeah. And I was like, wear my Falcons polo, man.
There it is.
That's executive, man.
Got to snazz it up when we have some guests on.
I love it, buddy.
So on to the next topic, and it's kind of what people have been throwing in the chat. So I'll probably throw up some of those comments, but Caleb McGarry went down. We've already kind of like somewhat talked about, you know, when Storm Norton came in, everything seemed to click better. I think that had more to do with the, you know, being in the second half of the game, but that is what it is. But is that something that concerns y'all with McGarry going down? Because believe it or not, he was actually playing a pretty decent game on Sunday and played a not so bad game against the Jags. So is that is Caleb McGarry going down? Toby, does that concern you, sir?
No, it doesn't concern me at all because I'm not really a Caleb McGarry fan. I'm sorry. I don't care what PFF says. We paid him. Cool. That's great. But he does not impress me as a right tackle in the NFL. I mean, yeah, if you call the plays like they did in this game and keep building on that identity, because that's basically what it is. They were identalists in the game. So they just didn't have an identity until this game. And that's the reason why the offense did better, because they added an identity. So if they keep that identity, they'll be able to put players plug and play guys in there that can run the schemes that they're running when they have an identity there. So no, I'm not concerned about that at all. That's just me.
There you go. Mike, what's your thoughts on old McGarry and what do you got to have for like Storm Norton?
Now number one, Storm Norton is just the coolest name ever. So he needs
he gets points for that, right? I mean, somebody coming in with the name Storm.
Even like a wrestler name. So that's right. Awesome. But man, I'm with Toby. When you haven't impressed me, I just feel like I want to see what the next man can do. You're not impressed. Now you may it's like once again, just because you didn't steal last time. That's the way I feel. Like you've stolen. I've seen you every time you come over, you steal something. I feel like he steals something every time. He just didn't steal the last two times. Kind of stole something. It's like he put it in his pocket and then he took it back out. I'm not concerned with him going down, not whatsoever. I'm not happy he went down. I'm happy we get to see what the next man can do, because I feel like you are the weak link.
I think with him though, it's like when he steals, it's like a diamond. And you're like, oh my god, yeah. Like that is terrible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it sticks out. You're like, oh my god, that's terrible. Like,
exactly.
No.
You get caught every time. Just keep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. I mean, to be honest with you, I might be a little concerned only because like last year our buddies the Bolt Bros, which is a Chargers podcast, we were on with them. They were on with us before the Chargers game, and they hated Storm Norton. They had nothing good to say about him. He was terrible for them. Like one of the worst pass blocking tackles in the league in 21, I believe it was,
right,
with him. And then I was on with them Sunday night. They were just live streaming the Sunday night game. And I hopped on for like half an hour and I was like, hey, Storm Norton got in the game today. And he was like, oh, how bad was he? And I was like, oh, no, dude, he was good. We actually scored all three games. He's like, yeah, don't buy into it. He's like, he'll come back. He's like, trust me. Like, so, I mean, they've seen him more than I have. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and he was on the practice squad for a reason. He didn't, you know. But, I mean, look, the bar is kind of low. I mean, but, yeah, McGarry, you know, did improve the last couple of games. But, so, and there is something to say for continuity. But, man, he fit right in there the last three games. He took a nice photo with them in the locker room. It looked like he's
part of the crew already. Yeah, looked like they was. I was glad to see, speaking of that, I was glad to see that the social media team at least didn't post a video of them dancing or celebrating. Or at least I didn't see one. So, normally when they do, it gets plastered all over my timeline. So
it's like Duke Riley.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That just makes me crazy.
I saw that posted.
Well, yeah, that was Berto over here.
That was Berto,
posting Duke Riley. MJ's making me laugh over here. He's like, $5. Hey, y'all, what's going on?
Oh, hold on.
You got it. There it is.
Yeah.
You ain't got a tip. I just, look, if you tip, then it's like I'm obligated to read it. But, you know, we just got a lot to get through. Like Fred over here. Fred. He's our man.
Man, he says, I already told you, just leave your wallet open, man.
Yeah, he might as well. He might as well just like Venmo me the.
Just stop
the
taking it out. Just leave it out.
Anyway, he says, one thing I hate about our fan base, and I don't think it's just our fan base, but you know, he says, when a player struggles, he gets trashed. But when he has a good game, people say it's just one game.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, in a sense, you're right. But it's that way for a reason. When you have, as Mike alluded to earlier, when you dig a 10-foot hole and you put 2 foot of dirt back in it and stand on top of it, you still ain't out of the hole yet. You know, you got to keep filling it in. So, look, we've said it before. We'll say it again. We all want Ritter to succeed. Like, it will be – I do not want to be in QB purgatory.
No.
Nobody wants to be there.
Nor do I want to spend a draft pick on one.
Right. Look, I would rather keep building the team and hope and pray that the guy's there, you know, but we just have to call it of like, I'll tell you where my biases lie. My bias lied right here with MR2. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Hey, like, now right. We talking, JR. Now you're talking right. My language.
Right. That's where my biases lie. That's where I'm willing to turn a blind eye to, you know, obvious flaws and things of that nature. These guys ain't earned it yet.
Yep.
Yeah. Arthur Smith ain't earned it yet. Desmond Ridder, sure enough, ain't earned it yet. So, like, that's, yeah, we talked about that last week. Now, on to go ahead.
Well, sorry. I was like, everybody would have been, we talked about this last week, everybody would have been more forgiving had this all happened last year. Like, if he'd gotten into the season early last year, like, oh, this season's not going anywhere. This is a great time to get it. Like, we all wanted. We all wanted to see him by, like, week eight, you know, at the latest. You know, then there you take his lumps and bumps then, you know, and go into the season. So, and the fact that our defense is so good this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And playing well enough to keep almost be undefeated, really, honestly. If our offense is just, like, mediocre for those two games, that's what everybody's like, come on, offense, we got to get going. Come on, Red, we got to get going. Like, that's why everybody's kind of, like, just amped up to get that moving so fast. And, I mean, me and Mike looked at each other during the game. My son, Liam, the three of us, we were like, and Amanda, we were like, how many chances is this defense going to give our offense? I mean, like, all game long. It's just like they all kept giving it back to us. All of them.
Yeah. Like, all of them, except for four. Exactly. They only converted four third downs. In that whole game, the Texans. That was crazy.
One thing, absolutely. I got to say this. Man, I am out of my Falcon mind. So if I'm critical of a Falcon player, he is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will turn anything into, oh, he having problems at home.
Look.
Like, you didn't see what you just saw. Like, his dog sick. That's why he played that way. He hurt when he – I will dress up anything to make it something else. I turn up, man. I'm telling you, like, so if I'm calling you out, dog, you are struggling. You are clearly struggling, and you're repeatedly struggling.
That's
because
it.
Because I'll turn the blind eye once or twice, like, I got cataract. But repeatedly, I have to acknowledge you.
Mm-hmm.
It took Mike a solid 8 weeks to admit that Deion Jones was falling off.
Oh, look, he would tell me every week, and I'd be like, I don't see it, dog.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
Miss that guy?
No, they didn't even see it. They don't even know.
Well, okay, so as far as McGary goes, I hate to see the guy.
Y'all keep talking. Hilarious. I'm just gonna put some up as you're talking about McGary. Hilarious. These comments are apropos. So you just keep going.
So the thing I hate to see is the continuity, right? Offensive line is built so much around that. So you stick a new guy in, there's always the chance that it just blows everything up because they just are not communicating like they're used to communicating. At least for one half of football, Storm Norton came in, did well enough, right? He did well enough that I knew we were gonna have to bring somebody in. I didn't know, and I didn't even think about it the rest of the game until we heard talk about it after the fact. Right. Mm-hmm. When we're sitting there on the MARTA train and I'm looking at Twitter, or we're sitting in the truck and I'm looking at Twitter, and it just started to occur to me, okay, he was in for a good chunk of the end of that game. And the offense looked no different other than we were not shooting ourselves in the foot most of the time. And I'll say this about a guy like a Storm Norton. Offensive line is one of probably the weirdest positions in the NFL where you can have a guy, and I've literally seen this happen for the opposite way for the Falcons, which is we have a guy that we put in and the guy is simply a turnstile. Absolutely horrible offensive lineman. Everybody wants to kick him out, just ship him off however they can, leave him off the team bus, the team plane, whatever. The guy gets shipped out, goes somewhere else, and then you hear about him the next, just not even like 2 or 3 years later. It's like the next year, this guy is playing as part of like one of the best offensive lines, and this guy specifically is balling out. And you're like, why could he do that here? That did not happen for Jalen Mayfield.
No, it did not.
There are exceptions to the rule, but like when it comes to offensive linemen, I know we're going to hear stuff from the Bolt brothers. You know, you're going to hear from anybody else that knew of Storm Norton before he became a Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
If he has to play again, I'm not going to go in with the preconceived notion of this guy is going to suck. I'm going to be like, let's see if maybe he needs a change of scenery, maybe different coaching, different scheme, whatever. But maybe this move to Atlanta is what he needed and he can be better going forward. I hope that's the case if we've got to rely on him.
If he can stop the speed rush, I'm all about it.
Yep.
Well, I'll say this. Go ahead, tell me.
I mean, look at Ty Sambrallo, right? He was a disaster with the Atlanta Falcons. He gets over there with the Tennessee Titans, and Arthur Smith has this man playing like he's never played before in his life. So maybe we can get that.
Who knows?
Out of Storm Norton. We don't know yet. But as of right now, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I didn't even know Caleb McGarry had went out of the game. I'm just going to be honest. So that just tells you right there, I'm not really a fan of Caleb McGarry because I just didn't care if he went out of the game. But anyway, you know.
Bradley says this McGarry contract is going to be a problem in 4 years. If he's still on the team, but keep this in mind.
Isn't there an out or something like that?
I was going to say, keep this in mind. In 2025, so 3 years from now, right? The dead cap is only, two seasons. The dead cap is only $2 million.
Oh, well.
So basically it's really a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's this year, which is with a dead cap of $15 million. Yeah. And it's next year with a dead cap of $9.5 million. So after next year, you could walk away from McGarry without feeling it, really.
Yeah.
And you could do it next year with the amount of money that we have in cap space, and wouldn't be too detrimental. You wouldn't want to do it, but like if you absolutely felt like it, you could definitely do it. Now, one thing I did find interesting with the Storm Norton deal, and then we're going to move off of this, is that he was like, they didn't put somebody else in. Does that make sense? Like somebody who had been here longer.
Right. Yeah.
Like Storm's only been here for what? Two, three weeks.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that he's the one that went in. Same thing with defensive lineman Jonathan, you got me on that guy's name.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, Ikonu or something like that.
Yeah, look, close enough. Better than what I would have done. Like I was surprised to see him in the game. Like we just claimed him off of the practice squad of Cleveland.
Yep.
Like I know he had been with us before. But, you know, that was just – it's interesting what they're doing personnel-wise. Now, speaking of personnel-wise, as I get my thoughts in order, this hit probably about, 3, 4 o'clock, something like that? No, I was still at work.
Fairly late in the day.
Anyway, it was in the afternoon. Earlier in the day, it got, floating around on the Twitterverse that the Rams were looking to – trade Van Jefferson, had kind of fallen out of favor, which is not surprising hearing some of the things we've heard about Sean McVay. Like it doesn't take much to fall out of favor with him, apparently, especially if you've listened to any of the play callers podcasts or any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, with the emergence of Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp coming back, they just didn't really have a place for him. And I think last week he was a healthy scratch, for the Rams. So the surprising move, which I'm considering surprising, is the Falcons traded a 6th-round pick for Van Jefferson and a 7th-round pick in 2025.
Yeah.
So you talk about the ultimate low risk, high reward type situation. But my question is, what are we doing with Van Jefferson in this offense so far, 5 weeks in? John Yates, what is your thoughts? What did you think when you first saw the Van Jefferson trade go down?
What you just said, yeah, low risk. I mean, you're basically just giving away nothing for the most part. I mean, if a 6th or 7th rounder makes a squad, then hey, that's just a bonus to any draft. But
right.
and you know, and you're getting a guy that's performed in the NFL at a pretty high level. So first thing that came to mind was speed. I was like, hey, all right, speed. We know, you know, I mean, Matt Collins not that fast, Drake London not that fast, obviously Scotty Miller, but we haven't seen a whole lot of Scotty Miller this year. And he may be a more effective slot receiver, you know, and that's where I could see him being, you know, and he's not he's obviously bigger than Scotty Miller too, so he's got that going for him, you know, as well. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. Yeah, I mean, you're not giving up anything. We still got plenty of time to go out and find a pass rusher, which is what we're all hoping for.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, nothing earth shattering. I just thought it was good. Yeah, one extra guy with some more speed.
Toby, what do you think?
I mean, you heard Arthur Smith say this when they first got here, and Terry Fontenot echoed the same thing. The roster's not going to look the same as it did at the beginning of the year. So they're going to make changes all the time. And anytime you get an opportunity where you can get someone and you're not really giving up a lot to get them, to put them on your roster, then it's always beneficial. Now, you know, like I said, if they have finally an identity, which they showed clearly that the identity showed on Sunday, which was the first time I saw it, if they feel like Van Jefferson fits into that mold of the type of player that they're looking for, you know, then, hey, so be it. I think you make the move that they clearly made, and you see what this guy can do for you. And just like you said, JR, it's a high reward, low risk type of situation. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised about a move like that. I just see it as an opportunity that they not really losing anything for taking a chance on this guy and the roster changing, you know, evolving throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So there could be more changes. I mean, we've seen them do it with Tennessee Titans. We've seen them go out and get a player that comes in there in the middle of the year and they turned out to be a great benefit for them. And they, you know, they go far into the season winning and to the playoffs doing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised by that.
So another PR has a good question, and I'm going to toss it to you, Mike. Van Jefferson's in, so who's out? Now, we know the roster move was Andre Smith, the linebacker, but already having limited targets for wide receivers, like, who's Van Jefferson eating in on, if he's eating in on anybody?
I don't think he's eating in.
You don't think so?
I'm going to be honest, because I don't feel like they just started prioritizing Drake London getting the ball, like, for a game or two. Like, they just started prioritizing other people. I think he'll come here, he'll get a few plays, but I don't think he's going to be, like, the major focus of anything. And it really depends on Arthur Smith, because I have to say this. It was my first game where I was impressed with Desmond Ridder. And it was really – I don't never want to say this, but that was really my first game being impressed by the coach, his actual coaching. Like, I ask John all the time, like, I wonder if he have to out-coach the coach on the other side. Could he do that? I ask John all that. I want him to, like, out-think the other coach. He struggled with that to me.
And not himself.
Yeah, because here's what he always does. Man, I think that he think that I'm thinking that he think that I'm thinking I'm probably going where he think I'm going. And then he end up doing something stupid when he don't just do it. Like, he's known for that. So I just feel like it's in how he used things. And, man, I was so impressed with, he used the pieces he had.
Yes.
Man, there have to be coaches in our league that be like, if I had that talent, I would be scoring this. And he got it. And it's like he finally learned how to, man, use all his, like,
extremities
and his limbs. And it looked good. But I'll be honest, he got to prove himself to me with consistency. Can you keep coaching like that? Same way, Desmond, can you keep coaching back to back to back, creative, intelligent, scheme wise, good games? He hasn't proven he could do it back to back. So he in the same boat as Desmond Ridder to me. So he got to use Van Jefferson. So that's why I'm not excited, because he don't use Kyle Pitts properly yet. He did it one game. So you got to prove to me that you could use the stuff you have before I get excited about somebody who you don't even know what can do and haven't been to one practice.
So Mike, you're trying to tell me that we got wide receivers at home? We don't need to stop.
We got food at home. We got food at home. It just looked good. And
hey,
then
man, I wanted that double cheeseburger though, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But here's why it's a relevant analogy. I'm glad you brought that up. there are some times where you grab food and you look at the price and it throw you off. You're like, why is this whole cake $250? But it's, hey, you can roll the dice with $250.
I'm about to say, so you eat that $250 cake and you on the, yeah, you on the toilet for the rest of the night.
There are times where you like, well, what could this be if it's a dollar from McDonald's? Why is it double cheese? What could it be if it's a dollar? And you say, it's worth the risk because it's only a dollar. So he's definitely worth the addition. But
right.
But the coach has to use him, man. He got
This is true. You're not wrong. Like outside of the rookie year, it's like something that we talked about a week or so ago. It seems like these 3 years when he's gotten his, you know, first round offensive toy, it's like that first year, I'm going to force feed it. Mm-hmm. Like with Pitts, force fed Pitts to the point that we had us asking, do you not know that Calvin Ridley's on the field and how to use Calvin Ridley, you know, to a point where Calvin Ridley bounced, you know, and getting into all that. But the end scenario is Calvin Ridley bounced, right? Mm-hmm. It's like then the next year you get Drake London. Drake London has an amazing year, rookie-wise, but it's like you forget that Kyle Pitts is on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, at least the first, you know, four games, you got Bijan Robinson. Well, holy crap, this guy can do everything. I can line him up in a slot. I can line him in the back. I can line him up out wide. And it's like it's like a kid with a new toy, you know? And you got.
JR, please clip that and stick it on YouTube or something, because I never even thought of that till you just said it.
But it's like, you know, it's like a kid with a new toy. Like I watch my 6 year old do it all the time.
That's a great point.
She's over here. Uh-huh. Her birthday is at the end of the month. She wants $3. Three. And I'm like, why? When the last five I got you are sitting in your bedroom, like not being touched. You know?
Oh, so, I watched Liam play Madden and feed Bijan just like Arthur was doing. I'm like, all right. Yeah. So he's basically playing Madden here. That's cool.
That's right. Just playing Madden. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep the spreading of the ball. I think that was a huge thing this past Sunday.
Yes, it was.
You got Mac, you know, a catch. Mm-hmm. You had Hodge with a couple catches. You had who's turning into what we thought he would be, a very nice safety blanket for Desmond, which is allowing Pitts to line up more places. Like this past Sunday, now weather continues, as we will continue to say, this past Sunday, you had what I consider to be the your offense, the core of your offense, Pitts, London, and Robinson, like making their presence felt, along with the auxiliary pieces of Algier, Hodge, Hollins, and Smith making their presence felt. So just hope we can keep that going.
What 10 different guys called balls,
right?
11 if you count the 2-point conversion, but. Well, like for me, and some of this comes from, again, watching the QB school stuff. I think one of the biggest things, one of the things that all NFL teams do this, you know, having that, the combo of having a guy to do the clear out route, just going straight up the field, to try to clear out for like a guy cutting on underneath, like a guy like Scotty, you would think Scotty Miller would be that guy, but maybe they've tried to do it with him and he's just not physical enough to get off the line like they need him to. Van Jefferson might be a guy who's better at getting off of lines. And then he gives you that deep threat to run that clearing route, to clear out four guys like a Drake London, like a Pitts who are underneath. And then you hit him enough with the underneath stuff. Then they're going to start cheating up on that. And then Van Jefferson takes the top off and you hit him downfield. Like I see the reasoning why you would want a bigger guy that's got the speed of a Scotty Miller, but is just a bigger guy who can, you know, get off some of the jams that Scotty Miller has problems with so that he can do the things that he needs to do. So I can see why you want a guy like that. And again, for the price you paid for him, it's a no-brainer to at least see if it works. And yeah, and if we get anything out of Van Jefferson, I mean, that's just a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when he came out of college, he had a 4.39 40. So it, you know, at 6'2", 200 pounds. That's moving. Now somebody was saying in the comments that he had some like drop issues. So we'll see if that's, you know, something that pops up. But all in all, again, high risk, low reward. No big deal. But I think I believe it was Mike who alluded to earlier, or may have been John. Y'all, the too many of y'all in here. Anyway, we need more pass rush. I think that's what we're all like really waiting on, like trade market wise. Toby, who'd like if they were to make a trade for somebody, like who do you got your eye on, if anybody?
Man, you had asked me this before. I mean,
I did, didn't I?
I didn't know then, and I still don't know now, to be honest.
You're too quiet, Toby.
No, I mean, you know, I don't think the Falcons need anybody. I think what they're still trying to build chemistry. So when you have a pass rush, you got to build chemistry just like you do on the offensive line, and guys have to be in sync. And they're still not there yet. They're still playing as individuals. And I think as the season goes along, you'll start seeing them play more in tune with one another. Like even you see Grady Jarrett is not really having an established year like he's used to having, you know, and I think that's the result of they're still not all playing together as a unit yet. And I think they have the pieces to do that. And I don't think they need to go out and get anybody else. I think they just need to keep going and keep grinding away at it. And eventually you'll see Bud Dupree doing his thing. You'll see Calais Campbell. You'll see Onyemata continue to do what he's doing. Onyemata, of course, is going to take off because he's been in the defense before. So he knows the ins and outs and the techniques that are utilized, that they use in order to be able to get to the quarterback or get to the run game. So these guys are still trying to get that down. So I don't think they need anybody, to be honest.
No, yeah, I agree. In a sense, like, you know, you got Millie Mills in the chat saying, like, you know, Chase Young or Danielle Hunter, those are, you know, some of the big names. I think before I would make a move on either one of those guys, I'd have to have guarantees that we could re-sign them. I'm not trying to – because the capital that you're going to have to give up to get those guys, they need to be a long-term part of your plan.
Carolina's a dumpster fire right now, so if we wait on Burns, maybe we just throw the bag at Burns and he comes on down 85.
Yeah. Now, I'd take that in a heartbeat. I would throw the bag at Burns for sure.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
Keep him A off of Carolina and get one of the more underrated pass rushers in the league as of right now. Let's see, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, like, as far as pass rush goes, like we're so close on so many. Just in this past game alone, Calais Campbell was close to like 3 or 4 sacks. Like he was real close. But the thing that we are doing really well is, yeah, we're not seeing the sack numbers from maybe Grady that we were hoping that we were going to see, but we are seeing a really good push up the middle consistently. Like we do see now, it's not to the point where we're pushing offensive linemen directly into the quarterback, but we're making it so that we're making quarterbacks uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
We're making it so that they're not able to like really step up in the pocket. We're forcing them to have to get out. And some quarterbacks are going to be better doing that than others, but we're making it so that they are not able to be on time because we're having the push up the middle. And then you pair that with the really good coverage that we're getting in the secondary, and guys are having to hold on to it a little bit longer. We're not quite getting there yet, but also, like, especially this game, we specifically went in not like we only blitzed like 6 times the entire game.
Yeah, that was there was something that they had seen on film that, you know, that led them to think that a 4-man rush would serve them better. And I can't disagree, as we alluded to earlier, you know, the Texans only converted four third downs and only scored one touchdown. Mm-hmm. So I can't necessarily disagree with Ryan Nielsen, who, let's be honest, him and Jerry Gray could be perennial, you know, ballers each week with the way they got this defense playing, which has been like an amazing deal.
Yeah.
Like, if you'd have told me, and I want to know if Mike feels the same way or not, if you'd told me at the beginning of the season that a few games in we were going to lose Troy Andersen and Nate Landman was going to be starting, that I was going to be okay with that. Like Mike has Nate Landman. Sorry, I got to say his last name that way. has his play impressed you?
I'm going to tell you why it for sure impressed me. Because I follow Troy from the draft, and I don't even usually do that. I follow Troy. That was my guy. He was my favorite draft pick. I was like, this dude can do everything. He reminded me of the Tasmanian devil. Like, he just fly around like a spinning top. So I was like, man, when he get under control, this dude going to be a whole problem. And he is. He was my, like, man, next jersey I was going to get. Like, I'm a real big fan of dude. So when he left, I'm like, man, here we go. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's no drop off in play. It's just different play.
Right.
He's like a different skill set. There's no drop off in play. So you can't say, oh, man, the backup is worse. But that's one thing I would like to say, I believe, about the team on defense. When the backup's coming, you won't see a huge drop off. If y'all remember how in training camp, it was competitive. You have to recall that. Remember, everybody, it was that we didn't know who was going to make the team. That's because it was competitive. You got to remember that. So when our backups come in and excel, I'm not shocked at that.
Right.
But yes, I'm just shocked because it's Troy. Troy is a unique talent. If you can replace him and it's no drop off, you need to get some money.
Like, Troy gave you like athleticism through the roof and, you know, speed, tenacity, all that good stuff. And MJ's pointing out, like, Landman has been an upgrade. I don't know if I consider him an upgrade over Troy. And he says, I love Troy, but it's true. I think what Landman gives you is a level play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not over the top of the athleticism. Right. He's very, like, he's doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not trying to make the, like, spectacular athletic play, so to speak. But he's not running around at a million miles an hour. He's running around at, like, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and because that tackle he had in the backfield, when he knifed through and just, you know, took the, I think it was a Tank Dell down, or it may have been Pierce.
I think it was Pierce.
I was trying to remember on, like, because I know they were using Tank Dell out of the backfield as well, but he took him, he made some, like, good stops, meeting guys in the hole, like, just that blue collar style linebacker, which is then allowing now Caden Ellis to kind of go back to that role where he's the one moving around, you know, which will be interesting to see how that works out. And because I don't think Troy's coming back at all this year, right?
I
think they said it was a slight chance
at the end of the season.
Be back for the play. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the same injury that T.J. Watt had, I think. So he said that, like, you know, he came back at the end of the season. So we'll see. Yeah, playoffs. Yeah, possibly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hold on, John. Just say if. I don't know. Can you like edit that out?
We'll fix that. We'll fix that.
I said when. Anyway.
When?
But also, Troy's not. And Nate's not learning. Linebacker in the NFL, kind of like Troy has been as well.
Troy's been all over the place.
Yeah.
Billy has an interesting thing. Like he says, we already have our edge rusher.
We've talked about that, man.
Just move Troy over there when he returns. Like, that's one way I've seen, you know, coaches get these ultra athletic linebackers, especially the young guys, like, involved, like, let them just hair on fire, run off the edge. But that would kind of go against what we have seen from Nielsen so far, is he likes that 260 plus, you know, edge guy. which is why you're seeing AK like play more of a Sam role, where he's dropping in coverage at times and not just strictly rushing the passer. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, we all thought that. I know y'all probably did too, that, you know, before the season started, we were all talking about, oh, how many sacks we'll get. We were like, oh, yeah, at least 35. We'll be in the 30s, maybe even 40 or more. You know, and it's like,
I know I was.
Yeah, we all were, right? And it wasn't like, and then we all kind of said the same thing. It's like, well, there's not maybe one guy, but this, we may see, you
like
know, six guys with five sacks, you know, or that type of thing. But that's not even happened, you know. So I think it's just that that one dominant type of guy that we're just missing.
That's like, because I'm kind of with Josh here. He says, go pay for a proven bet. Stop signing players like Bud Dupree, you know, thinking that he'll fix it. Shake my head. I get where they're at. You know, they had a lot of holes that they were trying to fill this offseason. Mm-hmm. They could just about completely revamped the entire defense, which is showing. Our guy Tony Wright, let's see if I can figure out. Yeah, here it is. He says, our Atlanta Falcons have moved from 8th into total defense to 13th last week and now 14th total defense. They're going backwards. I thought they were like in the top 10 or whatever, but I was wrong. Maybe in some categories.
He's saying yards, total. But no point.
Yeah, they're like, they've only given up 2 touchdowns in the past week. So, like, our defense is.
Let me just speak on this real quick, Joe.
Go ahead.
Man, we pay for, you know, leadership and attitude. So don't forget that we did get something of value in return. It just wasn't exceptional talent, but the people we got were specifically chosen for specific points.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget what we got. We got, man, if we got attitude and we got leadership. You can't overlook that just because they haven't excelled with the stats.
Well, I'll say this. What we paid for is been like 3, almost 4 interceptions with Jesse Bates. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just about ended that game on Sunday.
He did. Oh, he did.
When he was a hair from – completely ending that game, and which would have further cemented, you know, his status as being well worth the money.
And D. Alford, man, holy smokes!
Oh, yeah. Man, come on! Yeah, you talking about diamond in the rough there. That up, dude,
get you in the run game, go out there and cover guys. I mean, no fear. I love it, man.
Absolutely.
With all respect, though, like, everybody paid off to me. Like,
oh yeah,
Troy Anderson. Like, man, everybody, like. You pick good, like they paid off for the month. We look at everybody like that. Hey, I can't wait to see what Clark Phillips is gonna do because I know he's gonna pay off. It's just
eventually
good picking.
On the field.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough with D, man.
I'll say this again, and like I said before, you gotta when you're learning a new defensive scheme, you know, even you know, a lot of the players emphasize that about these different techniques that Ryan Nielsen requires for you to be able to do up there, even Grady Jarrett. You know, you're talking about how he got corrected on some certain ways he was rushing the passer and stuff in practice and whatnot. So it's going to take them some time to learn all that stuff. And like I said, the reason why you're seeing Anya Mata and Caden Ellis jump out the way they are, because they don't been in the defense. They understand the defense. So you got to get the rest of these guys. I think Bud Dupree is a great addition, okay? I think he's a great addition to the team. And I think Calais Campbell is. I think it's just going to take them some time. The whole defense, because right now they're still playing individuals, but that individuality is still helping us win games. So just imagine once everybody gets on the same page on how this defense really works, it's going to be crazy because they're playing individually and they're still having success as a defense. So that's scary. So I'm just looking forward to them as they play as a unit from front to back to how they're going to be. Everybody reading each other's minds and really understanding the fundamentals of what the defense is all about. And so once they do that, I think they're going to be fine. I think they'll start hitting their stride between weeks 8 and 10. You'll start seeing them, the sacks are going to start coming. It only takes, just like with Detroit, remember when you said that, Jonathan, that they only had one sack coming into the game versus us. And all of a sudden they played against us and they get sacks ever since. And I think that's what's going to end up happening with the Atlanta Falcons defense. Eventually the sacks are going to come.
Yeah, it's not
Toby getting me so hyped. Look, have you ever seen that real pretty girl, but her hair not done? She plain face, she already pretty. And you know, oh my God, imagine when she when she try. No, that's all Toby's saying. Just imagine when she put Lord. It on.
That's a good analogy right there.
Imagine week 8 or 9. Oh,
see, I'm an analogy guy, and that was a good one right there. Ghost Pepper brings up a good point. He said somebody else brought it up to, as well. It wasn't just Ghost, but Ghost says our DBs, by and large, played well this season. Arguably, the strength of the defense right now. We just need some more pass rush, and I think the DBs have definitely that whole back end has been. Such a breath of fresh air, especially over the last few seasons, where the only thing we really had to be happy about was AJ, right? But now you got, I don't think anybody's really talked much about Richie, and it's not because, I mean, you know, he's playing fine, you know what I'm saying? But with Jesse back there, AJ, Akuda's even looked good the last couple games, mm-hmm. like the secondary has played extremely well, and so I'm glad to see that.
And look at the QBs we have left to face. I mean, there's no just like, oh my god, we got to face this guy on the schedule that's left. It's basically Kurtz, Baker Mayfield. I mean, you're looking at Bryce again. You know, whether Anthony Richardson's back again for the Colts, we don't know at the end of the season. It could be, what's his name, Uncle Rico out there throwing, or and then the Bears, Justin. Justin Fields and Derek Carr. Nobody's afraid of him.
I think that our Sam Howell this week. Yeah, Sam Howell. Like he kind of showed, he's had a rough couple games.
I mean, he's kind of in the same boat as Ritter, right? So he was what, a fourth round pick? Like he wasn't even as high as Ritter, and. He sat out a good chunk. He sat out all of last year. He may have gotten like a cup of coffee, equivalent, to like baseball. He got to dip his toes in it just even less than Ritter, I think.
One game, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he gets to come in now. He's now the guy. He's looked like when he has looked real good at times, like real good. But then there's other times, just like any other, just like most, not every rookie quarterback or not every first time starting NFL quarterback is going to be is not going to be a Brock Purdy, is not going to be a Patrick Mahomes. And even Patrick Mahomes is like, it took me 3 years before I really felt comfortable, like super comfortable playing as a quarterback in the NFL. So like everybody goes differently. And so, yeah, Sam Howell may come out this week and stink it up again, or he may come out and ball out. We don't know. So far, this defense has a good track record when it comes to young quarterbacks, which is thank God for that, because that's not the norm when it comes to Atlanta Falcons defense.
Normally, we make rookie quarterbacks look like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just like Sam Howell he has the makings of a guy that could be really good. If again, as long as they can stay patient with him, let him take his lumps, have the good games, have the bad games, but just keep trying to progress and keep trying to get better. I think he's going to, be in the same boat as maybe a Ritter kind of person where we have to have patience. Mm-hmm. There are going to be bumps in the road. But now we saw this game. This was the best game he's had in his entire 9 starts. And let's see where he goes from here.
Right?
So can he build on it? And the same thing with Howell. Like, hopefully, like you said, hopefully we have maybe this is his second game in a row where he's kind of like,
maybe just Detroit Jag stretch. Fred Butts with another $2.
Thank you, sir.
He says AJ has to get picks, though. He drops too many. Look, that's fine. I get it. I think that picks are great. Picks are awesome. I love, picks. But just like with sacks, pressures and batting down passes are just as effective, as far as the stuff goes. Let's see here. Oh, crap. Moved on me. Facts, JR. See, I don't even know. I didn't even read the rest of the comment. I got to read that one. Somebody's agreeing with this. It says, when you don't hear a corner's name called much during the game, it's a good thing. Kuda seems to be quietly putting it together. Some nice games. Hopefully he finds new life in Atlanta. That's the deal, right? That's what you, when you brought him in, that's what you're hoping for. Have two bona fide outside corners and one guy that you may not have to pay nearly as much because he's trying to restart his career, so to speak. I think the secondary has been a breath of fresh air as far as that goes. I think hopefully the pressures will then generate into sacks. I know sacks aren't the only thing in the world. You saw that this Sunday. Like, they were getting a decent amount of pressure on CJ, making him uncomfortable, making him have to throw, and making him have to throw like errant throws. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, how many of those? And CJ is a very accurate quarterback. Yes, how many of those passes hit the ground before they got to the receiver? That doesn't happen without pressure. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mike, like that doesn't happen without, you know, you making him feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm just at this juncture, I'll say this. I am so glad that he ended up in Houston and not Carolina.
Right.
Oh, big.
Yeah.
Yep.
I told JR, like, the night, draft night, when it came time for the Carolina Panthers, there was all this talk like, oh, maybe they're actually going Stroud. Maybe they're going Richardson. Like, the guy I did not want in our division of all three of those guys was Stroud.
Yep.
That was the guy I didn't
straight want. Straight up. Did not want him. I thought that it would be – I thought he would be a problem, and he would be a problem for years to come, and I'm glad he is in Texas to where we only have to face him a handful of times throughout the years and maybe, you know, potentially in a Super Bowl. Because, I think, like I said, I think he's going to be an issue. Tony brings up an interesting point here as we move into our Q&A segment, as we start to wrap this thing up. DC, Ryan Nielsen needs to get outside linebacker D'Angelo Malone in the rotation as he moves, and his speed will lead to more pressures and sacks. Totally. Jonathan, you had said something when we were leaving the game or going into the game. I can't remember. You said something that was interesting. You think they might be trying to, like, convert him to, like, full-time linebacker?
Yep. I mean, we saw him when we went to the practice at the Benz. We saw him, like, he was more often over with Ellis and Troy Anderson than he was with the pass rushers.
Right.
You know, so I could see that, especially now you bring in an Ellis who is kind of the linebacker slash pass rush specialist from the linebacker core. I can see them trying to, like, maybe make him into, like, a younger version of that. But that's why you hear what I've heard is, or what you read is, that they're really, they're happy with his progress and that he's coming along nicely. If it was just, hey, he's coming along nicely to go into an outside linebacker role like a Bud Dupree, or, you know, just in general a pass rush role, we would be seeing him at some point doing that. We're not seeing him do that at all. We're not seeing him do anything other than special teams. So why would that be? That's because they're trying to teach him how to be a linebacker, whether that's a weak side, strong side, whatever linebacker. Mm-hmm. They're trying to teach him to be that, and that's why we haven't been seeing him.
And that's a possibility. Good Lord. Got some.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Ban user. Bam. Spammer. Let's see if I don't know if Bradley's still in here. I don't know. I tried to ban it, Bradley. If you're still in here, maybe you can handle it as well. We must be doing something right. I ain't seen a spammer in a hot minute.
I know. It's been a while. Or that, or Bradley's slacking.
Some hot days.
That's fine. Yeah, somebody's trying. All right. So it looks like it just got, not just got put out, but I'm just now seeing it myself. Van Jefferson will, for all the folks who are concerned about like aesthetics, looks like he'll be wearing Felipe Franks number 15.
Oh, so, gosh. I thought that was going to get retired. Damn it.
I don't know if that's a bad omen for for Van Jefferson there, sporting a number 15. Mike, what's your feelings on that?
Oh, you talking about the number?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I got a better one for you, Jay. I don't care about the number. I got one for you, okay? I done came on you. You know I have special questions for
you
y'all whenever I come on. Specifically,
I love it.
That I can't wait to hear what y'all are going to say on, okay? So I got a real important one for you, okay?
What's up?
I want people to appreciate what Matt Ryan was, because when Desmond Ridder struggles, I hope people realize it's not that easy to just replace your quarterback. So when he was throwing for 300 yards and two touchdowns, a lot of people was thinking, oh, that's average. We could get somebody that's electric and could throw for 400. It's not as easy to do it as it looked, is it? So with that being said, I have an important question for you. Here's what I want to know. Man, if Desmond Ridder, if he continues to look like he did look for the most part, he just got flashes, but for the most part, his games look like they were looking. And you know you got Taylor behind him. What I'm asking you is, are you going to give Taylor a real shot to prove he can be the start? He can prove to you he can be the starting quarterback for the team? Or are you going to assume I'm going to let like Desmond play the whole thing out? And even though he's struggling, because it's him as the starter, or it's like the draft or somebody when it the offseason come, but it's not, I'm not giving Taylor a legitimate few weeks to see if he can take us to the playoffs. So I want to know, are you giving him a shot if Desmond struggles, like to take the team for good?
I got you. Okay. So my thoughts there is if Desmond turns back into a pumpkin per se, like especially the past, like what we saw the past 2 weeks. If you are, we get into like week 10, week 11, and you're still in contention and Tyler and Desmond's like still doing this, I think you owe it to the team to try to put in that spark with Tyler Heinicke. And you know what he can do, but there's no guarantee. Like, okay, Heinicke, however the hell you say his last name, he is what he is. Okay, he's not a starter.
Okay,
but he can win you some games.
Okay,
yeah, like he's not a starter, because if he was a starter, Washington would have kept him.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? You don't let starters walk out the door. Same deal with Baker. I know Baker's had a good run. It reminds me a lot of like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like he'd give you four or five good games, and then eventually, like, he never stuck anywhere because he was never good enough to be a starter, right?
Okay.
And that's what I see from Tyler is he's not good enough or consistent enough to be a starter, or he would be, right? Mm-hmm. So if we turn to Tyler at any point in time this season, that means the ship has sailed on Desmond Ridder. So if you turn to Tyler, that means you're going into the offseason with the intent of signing a Kirk Cousins, with the intent of getting a Ryan Tannehill, or with the intent of mortgaging whatever you have to mortgage to get a, you know, first-round QB, whether it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, whoever your fancy is, okay? Then that's the only way I see this, like, playing out. Because if you turn to Tyler at all during this offseason, it's like what I'm really looking at is like New England with Mac Jones. Like at this junction, you got to look at it like, okay, Mac Jones isn't your answer. You've done benched him twice. You know, benched him twice for Bailey Zappe. You can't just keep going back to him.
So here's what I'm asking. So you have zero faith that Taylor could come in and like actually be the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons?
Not for long term. Like it could be a Nick Foles and the Eagles situation. You see what I'm saying? Like Nick Foles won them a Super Bowl, and that offseason they waved goodbye to him.
Yeah.
Because they knew what he was.
I got you. I get what you're saying.
And where has Nick Foles played after that?
Yeah.
He hasn't. You see what I'm saying?
You're breaking my heart, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, look, I get it. The kid's from Georgia. He's got, like, dude, he buys, man. He's got swagger. He's got moxie. He buys the daggum shoes of every team he beats. I love all that stuff. But he's not a starting quarterback. Not a franchise quarterback.
I always say, like, I love Taylor.
No. Hey, listen, I tried to switch the question.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Hey, you think he could be in our offense? He just said no.
No.
I mean, I like Taylor too, but I mean, I told Mike a few shows ago, I was like, everybody that's got that nostalgia about him remembers like those big games he had against like Brady and stuff like that. But there's a lot of just like poop games in there too. That people forget about. So it's easy to say.
Don't get me wrong. He's an interesting, like I said, he's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Tyler Henneke will be in the league. He's already been in the league 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And he'll be in the league for another 5 to 10 years. Like, yeah, easy.
I just think Desmond's going to build on this last performance, man. I really do. I just feel like he's going to – all of us, all offseason, man. He's got it from the neck up, man. He's a smart kid. He's going to work hard, all this stuff. He just has to put it together on the field. Then the season starts, and you start seeing flashes. And we talk about it every week up until this last week. It's like, okay, we see those flashes. But now those have to be more consistent. You got to do that for 4 quarters. Like, you know, just put that together for 4 quarters. And he did. So, I mean, it's not over and done with, but I just think he just uses that and builds on it. And that just doesn't, his confidence went through the roof just with that game, you know, okay, I can do this at this level. I got it, you know, and have more faith in his offensive line, getting the build, and, you know, all that thing kind of just came together. So, yeah. Hopefully we had a conversation.
And like I said, it last week. I was like, you know, after that game last week, I know there were tons and tons and tons and tons of people that were like, Taylor Heineke needs to be the starter, this and that and the other. And I said, you know, anything short of injury, right? And if he has to come in because Ritter gets injured, that's different.
Right.
But if you literally just go from Ritter's our starting quarterback 1 week, and then the very next week, our starter is Taylor Heineke. That's a burning the boats, crossing the Rubicon, whatever saying you want to use. You can't just go back. Don't be Bill Belichick. This is the one part of Bill Belichick I don't want you to be. And also the whole I'm going to get a defensive coordinator to be my OC. I don't want either one of those parts of Bill Belichick, okay? Where it's just like I'm going to sit my starting quarterback. I'm going to bench him twice in consecutive weeks. Now, granted, they have looked like crap. They really, really have. It is. Absolutely, it is. But at the same time, it's like this guy is your starting quarterback. Like, you either let him finish out the game, and then you make that change in the middle of the week, or once you benched him that previous week, then you make that change going forward. Like, you cannot keep – this is not college. You cannot go back and forth with kids like you can in college in the pros. Like, in the pros, your starting quarterback has to have the confidence to know he is the guy. Yes, he's going to have bad games, but he has to be the guy. And has to be the guy. You have to let him make those mistakes, let him learn from those mistakes, and build on them. If you take him out and put in Heineke – you undermine everything that you've tried to do up to this
point. That's what I say. If you put him in, if you put Heineke in, you leave him in, and you ride with for the rest of the season. And then when the end of the season comes, you, like, I don't even care if you cut at that point. Like,
if you make them good, you keep
it. I'm still moving off of him. Look, short of
it is a scenario. This is a scenario.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. Like,
I just got to know it's possible.
Look, short of him coming in week four, like, short of him coming in like week two and playing absolutely dominant, going all the way to the Super Bowl, I don't see a scenario where Heineke's your starter going forward. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, Geno's playing for Seattle. You know,
Brock Purdy came out of nowhere.
Right, right. Like, look, I was wrong about CP84, at least for the first year. Like, last few years have been a little bit of a disappointment. But the last few years. Oh, somebody's saying our audio is going in and out.
Oh,
I can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know. Jay Black is telling. Either way, we just started wrapping this thing up anyway. We've been at this an hour and a half. But that was a great question. Toby.
Not territory.
yeah. Tell me what you think. You sticking with Heinicke if he comes in and balls out? Uh-oh. Toby might be having some issues.
I don't think he.
No, I can hear you.
I can't hear him.
I can't hear me.
Oh, I don't know. Well, either way, let's go ahead and start wrapping this thing up. Don't worry about it, Toby. You're all good. You ain't got to worry about it. We appreciate y'all. No weekend show this week. I will be out of pocket. And Toby will also be out of pocket. So that would just leave Jonathan and his pretty face sitting here.
Nobody wants me just by myself on any kind of video or stream. I don't even want to see that.
Yeah. So like I said, no weekend show. We'll be back live on Tuesday. Hopefully talking about another Falcons win and Desmond Ridder even further solidifying. And we ain't even got to worry about Tyler Heinicke.
That's right.
John, Mike, you, y'all let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, man, you guys can catch us on our channel, Out of Your Falcon Mind, man, every week, normally Mondays at 7 and Thursdays at 7. So we'll typically do a recap show on Mondays, and then we'll do a preview show leading into the weekend on Thursday evening. And then sometimes we'll drop videos during the week. Mike will drop some shorts. Occasionally drop some shorts. And you know, you can follow us on Twitter, Out of Your Effing Mind, and on TikTok and Instagram, Out of Your Falcon Mind. But yeah, we, like JR said, beginning of the show, man, we just went over 1,000 subscribers. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for subscribing. So if you haven't, feel free to go over there and drop us a sub, man. We always love collabing with you guys, and whether it's on your channel, or our channel, or whatever, man, just getting together and talking Falcons, man. We have a blast with it. So we appreciate y'all for always welcoming us on the show.
Heck yeah. We
absolutely
enjoy it.
I wanna say, it's always a blast.
And I got to say this, man, it is an honor to be on y'all show, because y'all are truly like one of the standards of this whole thing. And I don't want y'all to ever forget that. Like, y'all, and that's not my opinion. That is truly to everybody.
I'm talking for
everybody when I say that, like, y'all one of the standards of it. So it's always like a privilege and an honor to be on your show. And then it's always a good time just to add it on. So thank you.
Well, we like to
say, it's easy, man. It's easy with you guys.
There it is. That's what we're trying to like just trying to be yeah. fun, you know. And
I have been incredibly lucky to you know, I just started less than a year ago, and to have been a part of this channel I'm the luckiest guy on this channel right now.
Well, hey, look, I blame you all the time for me even being here. So you got to shoulder some of the responsibility. Nick's got it going on down here at the bottom. He says, chop on. Braves had a heck of a comeback, man. And then hopefully they keep adding to it. That's good stuff.
That was amazing.
It was.
Dre Murphy says, I hope and pray and wish everyone has a blessed and safe good night the rest of the week. Also,
until
next time. That's right. Appreciate y'all. Y'all stay safe
Thank
out
you
there.
Guys.
Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grim1128. That's GRIMM1128. Jonathan.
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by, say hi.
Toby, can you talk? Nope. Don't worry about it. He's at TobyD1991. Y'all hit him up. And go check out John and Mike on Out of Your Falcon Mind. Always fun. I didn't get a chance to welcome Carrie. She had popped in here for a bit. I know she's one of y'all's big fans. So we appreciate everybody who jumped over here to show these guys some love, because they do a lot of good fun stuff.
Yeah, they do.
As always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up.